You're listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, Episode 23, Attack of the Crimson Virus. And Super Hitler, too. And welcome to episode 23 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am Stimulus Lad. We were out stimulating the economy all over the place.
Oh, wow.
We started out the day at a place where, you know, they do the floor covering stuff. Yes, floor place. We got, we've ordered new flooring to be installed over the next couple of weeks. Then we went to the fun place, and I got to play in the land of consumer electronics. So,
Toy store.
It was a fun day.
Dangerous.
Exactly. It was a very fun day, and I will set up the TV later.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I am Darren Noel, and I am Contract Kid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
I've made an offer.
Oh, yeah.
They have until 5 o'clock on Monday to respond. So we'll see what happens after that.
That's
so
awesome.
I need good karma from everybody out there.
Everybody think really hard. Think really
think
hard.
Really
of
hard
karma.
Because this condo was originally on the market for $215. And let's just say he's going to be taking a big loss on it if he says yes. So.
Well done,
he bought
sir.
It for $245.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be up there again. It'll be up there again soon enough.
Oh, totally it will and, be. I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah, let's just hope it's in your hands for when it does that.
Yeah,
indeed.
Really.
Indeed.
Oh, and I'm Matt Kramer, and tonight I am Laptop Lad because, well, like Paul, I went out stimulating the economy earlier in the week and bought myself a new fancy schmancy laptop. So if I sound better this week, that's why.
Clear as a bell, sir. It's awesome. I usually, whenever there's like a slip in Skype, I'm always like, oh no. There's none of that so far. It's awesome.
Ooh.
It's a beautiful thing. So, not a huge week in Legion news. But no. we did get an issue of Rebels, and I knew it was going to be good on Wednesday morning when Mr. Kramer sent me an email, sent us all an email saying that it was a really great issue. And boy, was he right.
Yeah.
Tons of fun. We got to, you know, and I think we were all kind of, you know, I don't think any of us was kind of, you know, bowled over by it, but we were interested enough because of the Legion connection when words first started coming out of it. You know, one thing we knew for sure was that, hey, the art looks really good. If, you know, if the guy who did the promo image is going to be drawing the book, that's going to be awesome. And that's been proven correct. And I think that, you know, this, I think, you know, Tony Bedard is hitting it on all cylinders.
Oh, yeah. That's
two
putting
issues.
It lightly.
Yeah, two issues. And we're talking about this book being great.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
He's hit it out of the park.
Yeah.
He just has.
You know, and it's great because, I mean, I look at... There's little things that sort of pop up that make me think of that original Legion series. And when I say that, that is with the highest praise because I really, really enjoyed especially the beginning of that book. And even bits that he does artistically that Andy Clark, who is the artist, there's like you look on page two there where with Supergirl and Docs, and because I still can't call him Brainiac 2. I just can't.
Yeah,
and he doesn't like it either.
Exactly. Maybe I'm just scared of him. but you know, you look at Kara's face in that picture. It reminds me a lot of Kevin Maguire, actually.
Yeah, it does kind of have that Justice League.
You know what I mean? It's the type of line work and the expressive face there. It reminds me a bit of that, and I also see a bit of Kitson in some of the art too. And it's that's not to say that the art is derivative, because it really isn't. He's doing something really. I don't think you see a whole lot of it. And a lot of that is in the style of his inking. There's elements of Mobius in that, just in the, I don't know. I can't explain it. I guess it's the way he's sort of mastered the broken line. Like, you know, when you look at some of the wrinkles in the uniforms, for example, you see the line kind of breaks up, and it's kind of that way that you don't always see everything in a perfect straight line in reality. And that's maybe not the best way to describe it, but it's just a really unique look that I don't think you see a whole lot in mainstream comics, let alone in a superhero book.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And there's some neat stuff that we see in here. Of course, we see a bit more of Tribulus, and I'm glad to see that we're still getting the three boot style character introductions.
Love the Encyclopedia Galactica.
Yeah, you know, and that's a throwback even further back to the Levitz run, and just loving that, I really think, you know, this one, as much as I've enjoyed some stuff that Bedard has written before, this one has really put him on the map for me, and really really definitely makes him someone to watch, and. You know, Andy Clark as well. And I wish these guys both a really long run on this, because it's
a long run together.
Really enjoying it, yeah.
So that they can kick some Legion butt.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's going to rock.
Exactly. And come on, Omega Men.
Yeah, Tigor. Come on. What more do you need?
Seriously.
It actually has me liking the Omega Men. I've never been an Omega Men fan, but like Darren commented earlier before we were recording, he has Tigor down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, I remember the Omega Men from way back when in New Teen Titans.
New Teen Titans 25.
Yep. 25 in that annual. Man, they kicked butt then. And then the team totally changed in the course of like 4 years.
Yeah.
And Crisis. And and Tigor has been the one real mainstay throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
I love him. I love Tigor.
Yeah, I missed out on a lot of the Omega Men, their own series, mainly because I think that was a direct only. And as I said before, I didn't have a direct store near me. And so when I did go back and get like the Legion Baxter run and the Titans Baxter run, but I never did get around to getting the Omega Men run. And part of it, you know, I thought that they were a kick-ass team in the Titans book, but I wasn't crazy about the storylines that they took part in. And because to me, anytime they brought it, you know, anytime Starfire's sister showed up, it was like, oh, we're going to Tamaran again.
Yes, again.
You know, it was never my favorite.
It became
kind
like
of...
a bad, those, you know, after the seventh, the Road 2 films for Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, you're like, how many times can they go to a foreign country and have the same jokes? You know, I mean, it got a little redundant after a while with the Tamaran thing, but I love the Omega Men.
Yeah, and I personally just love this porn star mustache that Tigor is rocking. As well, he's got the eyebrow comb over, and
he's looking a little Peter North there, isn't he?
A little bit, yes. But you know, to a certain
kids,
degree,
don't look that up at work, okay?
Oh.
You'll be fired. Okay.
Yes, we may as well use this as an opportunity to warn that, you know, there's elements of this episode that may not be entirely geared for children. Much
adult.
Yes, exactly. Or some adults. Yes, those are the same adults that couldn't handle having Dr. Manhattan's big blue weenie swinging around. So.
I want to start a hot dog stand and call it the Big Blue Weenie.
Yes, gives a whole new term to the saying "a big blue marble," doesn't it?
Yeah. Ooh, 1970s ABC TV reference.
I thought you'd like that.
I do. I love the big blue marble. It was on right before Super Friends.
Yes, it was. That's right. And anyway, so yeah, Love and Rebels, and come on, you know what? Part of it is Tygor reminds me of everything that Lobo should have been but wasn't, and. And to boot, we're gonna. I'm sure we'll be seeing Lobo in here at some point. It should be a lot of fun. But in the meantime, I guess we'll just
eventually. I'm sure. Yeah.
Exactly. But in the meantime, I guess we'll just have to settle for Starhaven.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Look, Native American in space.
Yes.
Was Starhaven's story just changed a little bit from what I thought it was before?
Did we ever get much of a real story of Starhaven?
We never
before?
Really got a bunch of the story of Starhaven, except it's an Earth colony.
Right.
So the question is, if the Earth colony exists now, how?
Yeah.
Because I thought pre-Zero Hour that it was settled sometime in like the 23rd century or something like that. But not that. Because I actually like this story a lot better than the story we had previously. So
yeah, not the Valor seeding of the planets thing again, is it?
Oh, no, okay. I think they just left Earth. I think that's basically what the story was. Yeah. But I think in this one, what, they were kidnapped by aliens and experimented on.
Yeah, you know,
well, that would explain the wings. Hey,
exactly.
Well, yeah, and I mean, let's face it, the Valor seeding the planet story is, I'd say, safe to say it's gone. Now that Superman / Superboy is allowed to, you know, as a character is allowed to be associated with the Legion, I think it's safe to say that the things that they had to do, you know, the patchwork that they had to do to excise him from the continuity is no longer in play. And, you know, maybe we'll be proven wrong on that, but it's just the way it seems.
Please,
so
no,
far.
I hope not.
Again,
please prove us right.
You know, but you know, lose, you know, like I say, we do lose Laurel Gand. Maybe we definitely lose Kent Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not without its disappointments. Not that they can't be brought back in some way or another anyway. So yeah.
Hopefully we lose Manhunter Laurel Kent.
Oh God. I finally got the More Things Change trade today.
Uh-huh.
And I was flipping through it and Laurel Kent is in that. And I was like, oh, what a complete waste of a character.
Yeah.
Well, and to be fair,
my head, it's like, oh.
To be fair, she had been around. I mean, in the first
story,
she appeared.
A long while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if she first appeared in that first Dawnstar story, speaking of Starhaven. But at any rate, when she first appeared, she was drawn by Jim Sherman. So that takes it back a good several years before the Baxter run.
And oh, yeah.
She was a seriously underutilized character then. You know, maybe it was that they, you know, it's like, let's not screw around too much with using Superman's ancestor, because you know, then that brings up all kinds of things that we don't want to have to deal with. But you know, something could have been done with that character.
And, I just looked Laurel Kent up on Comic Book DB, and her first appearance was Superboy number 217.
Oh, so that's before Dawnstar's first appearance, because
the Lorca story.
Oh, the Lorca. Well, we have some time to get to that, don't we?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we get to Tyrock before that, right?
Just briefly, I believe.
Okay.
That's
fine.
Right. That's
I'll take
right.
It.
Yes.
I'll take it.
So,
Shut your mouth. Do we want to do our Watchmen review real quick?
Yes. You go. You guys go ahead.
Go see it, but don't take your kids. There. Done.
Yeah. Go see it. Don't take your kids.
Yeah. You know, that's pretty much it. It's interesting. There's been some criticism leveled against the action scenes, but you know what? It's an action movie. It is. And you know what? It's by the guy who did 300. So, you know, when you see, you know, sort of the slow motion violence, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You know, a lot of people were like, so they seem to have some real superpowers. And it's like, well, the Spartans didn't have any superpowers, and they did the same things. You know, it just seemed that everyone's like, oh, does this mean that these characters have superpowers? And it's like, no, it doesn't. It just means that they slow it down for a fight. Because you know what? Hey, props to a director who isn't afraid to show a fight scene.
Yeah, really.
You know,
yeah,
where fight scenes in movies lately have gotten to the point of, we're going to throw the camera in a duffel bag and shake it around a bit, and that's going to be our fight scene. I'm so sick of that stuff that I'm grateful for a director who's finally willing to say, hey, let's not only slow it down so you can see it, let's slow it right down so you don't miss a thing. And it's kind of neat. And
paging,
you know,
paging Michael Bay to the white courtesy phone. Thank you.
So yes, see it. Don't take your kids. And anyone
who's
big
blue winky in it. So yeah, you don't want the kids to see
big
that
blue winky. And fellas, you might be iffy on your girlfriend seeing it too, because it's going to
set be feelings of inadequacy.
It's going to set up all kinds of expectations.
Yikes.
Yes. Well, it's no surprise that our review of Watchmen goes there, because let's face it, this first story we've got for tonight is probably going to take us into we have a couple, you know. First off, I believe the rule is two drinks every time there's a story with a Legion traitor. The drinking game rules are in effect.
Oh, man.
Do not listen to this episode and operate heavy machinery, folks. So, Darren, you want to get us started with this one?
Oh, sure. Why not? I love reading about Crimson Viruses. Hang on. All right. It's Adventure Comics number 313. And let me just pull who's responsible for this story, for lack of a better word. Hang on. Yeah. The cover penciler is Mr. Kurt Swan, who we know, and the inker is George Klein, and letterer is Ira Schnapp, and the writer is Mr. Edmund Hamilton. Wow. Okay. Penciler is Kurt Swan, inker is George Klein and John Forte, letterer Milton Chapin. And here we go. We have on our cover Adventure Comics, and there are all the female Legionnaires and Night Girl are in some kind of Jetsons home of the future. and Saturn Girl, and they all look like they're miscolored. They're looking rather reddish. And Saturn Girl says, "Superboy, we've all become victims of the Crimson Virus. Can you save us?" And Superboy says, "I'm sorry, Saturn Girl, but all the girl members of the Legion are doomed." That's what you want to hear from your best friend, isn't it? "You must spend your last days on Quarantine World." So actually, they do bring Quarantine World back. And I think it's in the 5-year gap, actually.
Yes, I think you're right. I think you're right.
And on the bottom, it says, "Featuring Night Girl, Phantom Girl, Lightning Glass, Triplicate Girl, Shrinking Violet, and Saturn Girl in the Condemned Legionnaires." And on our page one splash page, we see Supergirl streaking to help the stricken female Legionnaires. And there's a figure there, and Supergirl calls her not Saturn Girl. Oops. Freudian slip. Sorry. Satan Girl.
Could it be Satan?
Anyway.
Oh, and I love their futuristic wheelchairs. It's almost like Captain Pike on Star Trek.
It's either Captain Pike or they broke into the Westchester mansion and stole some prototypes. One of the two.
Yeah.
So Supergirl is saying somehow Saturn Girl, I'm going to do this the whole frickin' time. I'm sorry, y'all. Satan Girl is killing the girls of the Legion. I don't know who she is or where she got her superpowers, but we've got to stop her. And of course, the girls are down there in their wheelchairs are looking very verklempt and about to fall over. So one fateful day in the 30th century,
yay!
Lightning Lass uses her superpower to help others. Nice to know she's not gold bricking. So there she is. She's starting up the generators there. And then suddenly You see the beginning of the Crimson Virus take her in that second panel, and she says, "I feel strange, sick, everything's going dark. Oh no." Cut to a little later, another girl member of the Legion is stricken. And it is Saturn Girl who is trying to read the thoughts of these aliens, and she's, oh no, she seems suddenly sick. Ergo, the same thing happens to Shrinking Violet when Sunboy asks her to walk inside the tubes. Now,
this isn't the first time he would ask that.
No. Insert joke there. Okay. So we get the drift. This is happening to all of the female members, and Superboy responds to an urgent, arrives to share an urgent mission with Mon-El, and he gets tragic tidings. It must be Christmas time. No one gets tidings any time of year except Christmas. Mon-El, you said two planets far across the universe are on a collision course. With our superpowers, we too can prevent them colliding. Mon-El says, yes, we must start soon on that life-or-death mission, but an awful thing has happened here, Superboy. Every girl in our Legion has become the victim of a strange crimson virus.
Happened to me in the house I lived at in university. I was the only guy in that house.
Oh,
it happened often.
So, yeah. Remember Married with Children? We're obviously fans of Married with Children. We've invoked Kelly Bundy many times. Yes. There was one episode of Married with Children that they only aired once, and it was called the Cabin episode.
Oh, God.
Because what they wanted to call it was completely inappropriate back then.
Uh-oh.
And basically, Mr. and Mrs. Darcy, Mr. and Mrs. Bundy, and the kids all go off into the woods for a weekend, and guess what happens?
No.
The ladies get the crimson virus,
mm-hmm.
and the men have to pay the entire episode. It's quite amusing, actually. I have to find that somewhere. Anyway, so the girls are there, and they're looking quite awful, and even that little teacup down there, if that is a teacup, isn't helping at all. On the next page, you see Polar Boy insisting that Night Girl go help the Legionnaire girls. Okay. Well, Night Girl shows up, and suddenly she has the same symptoms. Apparently, they're syncing up rather quickly in the 30th century, gentlemen.
our girl legionnaires and this stalker.
And with her beehive.
Yes.
And Sunboy says, our girl legionnaires must be isolated. And Sunboy's handled this before. Or others will catch the virus. We'll have to send them to quarantine world.
Yes.
And Saturn Girl says, must we go into exile? And I'm sorry, Saturn Girl, but all the female members of the Legion are doomed. You must go to quarantine world. This space bubble will take you there automatically. Let's hope we can find a cure before you die. Dun, dun, dun. And Mon-El and Superboy go off to handle those, two worlds were colliding earlier,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they leave. And minutes later, the superheroes have an astounding visitor. And there she is, dressed in black with a purple cape and a fetching purple belt. And she says, I'm Satan Girl. What a way to introduce yourself, isn't it?
Yes.
And I've come to take the place of your girl legionnaires. With my superpowers, I can do more things than all those girls together. Sunboy says, no one can replace our comrades. When we find a way to cure them, they'll rejoin the Legion. Satan Girl says, fool, you'll never find a cure for them. I know, because it was I who unleashed the doom of the Crimson Virus on them. Oh! Okay, so Satan Girl's real name is Florence.
And she's someone's aunt, is she not?
Yeah, she has a niece somewhere. We're not sure where. Satan Girl says, you rejected me and you'll regret it. I'm going to quarantine world, and when I get through with your girl legionnaires, they'll all be dead. Somebody says, don't let her get away. Grab her. And of course, Satan Girl takes the opportunity to rip a new hole in their spaceship. Look at that. That's impressive.
Seriously?
It is.
Since I have super strength, super speed, and invulnerability, you won't find it easy to stop me, but I'll stop you from following me by disabling your ship. Woohoo! And so the boy legionnaires get a brilliant idea. They call for Supergirl. And some boy says, then you received our call, Supergirl. Supergirl says, no, I had already left the 20th century to visit you as I promised, but why did you call me? Well, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 boy legionnaires and no girl legionnaires around. I think it's pretty obvious why they call them.
Yes.
So when Supergirl has heard the whole story, so in this emergency, we're naming you the honorary leader of the Legion to help us deal with Satan Girl, who threatens our comrades. Supergirl says, where could she have acquired superpowers like that? She must be stopped. But first, I'll repair your ship super fast.
So apparently you've got to be named honorary leader in order to deal with the threat.
Well, yeah, in this case.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So the ship is repaired, and they fly off to Quarantine World to see what's going on with the girls. And on Quarantine World, the isolation ward of the universe, where those with dangerous illnesses are sent to spend their last days unless they're cured. So let me get this straight. Everyone with a life-threatening disease is sent to the same place so that they'll get better.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like a sound theory to me.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. you have Da Nang fever, and suddenly someone comes in with West Nile virus, and the guy next to you has Ebola. Yeah, you're going to get better. Yeah, sure. So they obviously have robot nurses here, and the curative rays haven't yet had any effect on the Crimson virus that you've contracted, but we'll try again. Okay. They should be using the purple ray.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Not only does it heal you, it gives you some superpowers.
That's true. It does. And Satan Girl shows up, and she starts shorting out some of the nurses there. And then she begins to give the girls another round of Crimson Virus Ray. Ooh, she is evil.
Yeah.
She's just evil. Oh, my God. I'm feeling cramps now. Ugh.
Oh, no, Darren, you might have the Crimson Virus.
I might. You know, many people have accused me of that, so it's okay. Supergirl shows up and says, "Who are you?" And okay, we were adding this to the drinking game. The villain has a lead-lined mask.
Yes.
Take a sip, people. We've seen it like 5 times now. Come on.
Exactly.
In this episode alone, you'll see it.
Exactly.
You're going to be smashed by the time we're done. It's very true. Sponsored by AA. Anyway. Supergirl, not even you can stop me from destroying all the girl legionnaires. And Supergirl says, "Why should you want to kill the legionnaire girls? You'll never know, Supergirl, for you are my greatest enemy, and I'll deal with you before I finish them." And Supergirl gets the smackdown from Satan Girl. Oh, my God. And she deduces she must be from Krypton. And Supergirl goes flying through a tree there. This is pretty heavy action for back in the day. This is almost violence.
Yeah.
And Satan Girl attempts to stone Supergirl. For saying Jehovah.
She said it.
She said it, not me.
And so
we get a huge whirling acrobatic fight. And Supergirl gets her into a hold and then begins to try to melt the mask off of her. And Satan Girl, being the butch girl that she is, grabs Supergirl's hair and says, "Uh-uh, you ain't going to do that." And gets out of the grip and decides to take off. And Supergirl's like, "I can't let her get away." And so, of course, what she does is she goes back to the lab to get some kryptonite dust.
Wow.
Anyway. So she gets it in a little lead box. Isn't that cute?
Aww.
She flies off chasing the way she saw Satan Girl go. And she finally finds Satan Girl. And she whizzes the kryptonite dust at Satan Girl. And Satan Girl goes, "Ah, ha, 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 not me, ha, ha. Kryptonite may affect you, Supergirl, but you can see that I'm immune to it. You can't overpower me, but I can destroy you, and I will, ha, ha."
Wow.
Supergirl, if she's immune to green kryptonite, she isn't of Kryptonian origin. But then where did she get such terrific superpowers? What was her origin? Well, I'm thinking Daxum now.
Well, honestly, isn't that what she would be the natural thought? Being a Kryptonian who is a member of the Legion, who knows that, hey, Daxumites pretty much have the same powers as us. So wouldn't you think maybe take a chance and throw the damn box at her?
Yeah, because it's lead. Hello? Yeah.
Either way, Kryptonian or Daxamite, something in that box is going to hurt her.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Satan Girl takes the opportunity to drill out the hole in the back of the asteroid to get out. Anyway. And Supergirl is, of course, too late to discover this. And confound it, she's gone. Grr. Curses. End of part one. Part two. They're back.
Oh, yeah.
Kids. It's a Legion of Super Pets. Sweet.
It's about time.
Yeah, they're making their return to our pages. Isn't it wonderful? So Supergirl's lying there in complete drama queen pose with elbow lifted, hand on forehead, looking like she just, you know, was in a horror movie and twisted that ankle.
Yes.
Here come the pets to kill her.
Yeah. Hurry, Legion of Super Pets. you super creatures are the only ones who can save the human legionnaires. I thought she was just after the girls. Now she's after all the humans. Okay.
It's like Supergirl. That episode of South Park.
So the boy legionnaires have finally shown up at Quarantine World. And Supergirl says, Satan Girl struck out at the girl legionnaires again and somehow made their crimson virus worse. She'll keep at it until each girl dies. Cosmic Boy says, how can we stop her? Nice of Cosmic Boy to make an appearance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, boss. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. To conquer Satan Girl, I must find out her origin. Only then will I be able to deduce what secret vulnerability she may have. Some boy says, meanwhile, we must protect the girls. Can't we take them away from Quarantine World to some secret refuge? Didn't they build a secret refuge a couple of issues ago? Supergirl says, I know such a place. Nobody knows about it but me. We'll take them there. And some boy says, quick, wheel the girls into our ship. So apparently you don't need to quarantine them from the boys anymore. It's just the girls. Okay. So Supergirl's having a little grief.
There it is.
You okay?
This is why, you know what? This is why she knew that it couldn't be from Daxum. I'd forgotten about this part. And
the lead-lined mask,
of course. Yeah, yes, Daxamites tend to steer clear.
Yeah, I could have had a V8. Oi, okay. Therefore, she must be a superpowered android. Ooh, an android. Well, we've never seen an android take on the Legion before, have we?
No,
that would be new. Okay. We need to take this moment to remind you all that we are Legion fans. We promise. Yeah.
Yes, we swear.
So there they go to the dark cosmic cloud is hiding a strange world. And inside, there's a planet and a sun. And how did you know of this world's existence, Supergirl? I came here once while on a mission in the future. And I want to save these intelligent alien animals from extinction by repelling the cosmic dust when it was about to engulf them. If they remember, they'll give the Legion Girls refuge here. And Bouncing Boy, look, they move by bouncing. Even I, with my super bouncing power, can't do it better at it than they. And Supergirl looks at all the bouncy balls, and they're happy to see her. Yay! And Bouncing Boy wants to go bouncing with them. Yay! So that
these things are just creepy looking.
Yeah.
Aren't they, though? Like they could like chomp on Bouncing Boy and swallow him whole and no one would know.
Yeah. And she came here when she was on a mission in the future. Isn't she in the future now?
I think she means in the future in the 20th century.
Oh, I'm so confused.
Wait. Carry the one.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it, when you think about that? Yeah, go watch Lost, okay?
Yeah.
And come back to me later.
Okay.
So Supergirl is trying to get some stuff together, and she hears, it's Satan Girl, stop her! And Supergirl's like, how could she know of this world when only I knew of it? It's impossible! And Sunboy and Lightning Lad are trying to give Satan Girl the beat down, and she ain't taking it. You fools can't oppose me. My super breath alone will sweep you out of my path. It's called a tic-tac, sweetheart. Okay, think about it. And she's like, Supergirl, she's intensifying the crimson virus on the girls. Look, they're all collapsing. And Supergirl's like, the gas in this gas gun will stop any android. Watch. Oh, it didn't work. Then she can't be an android, as I was sure. And Satan Girl says, ha-ha, so you thought I'm an android? Supergirl, you'd be amazed if you knew who I really am. I'll tell you as I destroy you.
Oh, no.
Really now. Look, the strange animals are trying to help you, and her sinister power doesn't affect them. For some reason, she's powerless to harm animals. Now's our chance to escape. If there's only was a place to hide, she couldn't find. And Supergirl says, wait, I just thought of a world Satan Girl couldn't possibly know about. I'll tell you where it is, and you take the girls there in the ship while we keep her busy. Somebody says, I hate to leave, but it's for the girls' sake. Well, there's our son boy.
Atta boy, Dirk.
And Supergirl's bouncing alien animal friends are distracting Satan Girl. We can get away now with the girls. And they leave, and Satan Girl says, blast that Supergirl. cue the Snidely Whiplash music.
Yes.
As fast as I blow these creature friends of hers out of my way with their super breath, they bounce back. She's gone, and so are the Legionnaires. I must find them quickly before my 48-hour time limit expires.
Well, that's interesting.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Hmm.
If Supergirl thinks she's shaking me off the trail, she's crazy. Ha ha! How wild she'd be if she realized that I know every secret in her mind.
Oh, no.
Now, let's just take a moment. Look at that panel with her with the mask. I'm wondering if they didn't reference that mask basic shape for Sensor Girl's mask.
That's a good observation. Yeah.
And just a little bit.
Interesting.
So, I mean, just the way the eyes are kind of.
Yeah.
Funky.
Neat.
Meanwhile, the Legionnaires and Supergirl land on the puppet planetoid.
Which also would come up again.
Yeah.
Really?
That's okay. It showed up in 5 year, 5 year later. I believe.
Oh, did it?
Okay. Yeah.
I need to reread my 5 year gap. I really do. When I have a spare minute, I'll do that. basically this planetoid they're on is a stage for which giant children play with their marionettes. That's kind of cool. Supergirl says, yes, I've kept knowledge of this world a secret. No one else, not even Satan Girl, knows it exists. Wheel the girls out of the ship so they can see this site. But unexpectedly, a stunning surprise for Supergirl. Satan Girl, somehow she did know this place, and she's carrying a massive load of green kryptonite to drop on me. Satan Girl says, I told you I'd destroy you, Supergirl. Ha ha ha. And Supergirl says, I'm caught in the green kryptonite. It's acting on me, paralyzing me. Now I'll finish off the other girl legionnaires. Must hurry. My 48 hours are almost up, and this means life or death to me. And instant later is a final terrible attack. We can't stop her, Lightning Lad. Find Supergirl and tell her. I'll go. I saw the way she went. But when Lightning Lad finds her, I'll get the green kryptonite away from you before it kills you. But it's weakened me temporarily. I can't help, but I've got an idea. Satan Girl's powers can't affect animals. Take the Legion ship back through time and get the Legion of Super Pets.
Genius.
Genius idea, I tell you. Genius.
So just to interject for a second, the puppet planetoid would show up again. Basically, where we would remember it was, I believe it was Legion of Superheroes, the volume 4, issue number 3. And that's actually where Block was living at the time that Roxas found them.
Oh, okay.
And I remembered something about the toys being there and being dormant.
And doesn't it come up in – I think it comes up another time, too.
Apparently, Ultra Boy once saved some boy's life here, although this occurred in a backstory. So I'm not sure if it's just referenced again, and I can't find the actual reference for that particular story. So I'm not sure if it was just something where they referenced the puppet planetoid, or if when they say, you know, it occurred in a backstory, does that mean in the background in sort of the setup to a particular story, or was it actually a backup story? So not entirely sure.
Interesting. Meanwhile, Lightning Lad is picking up all the animals in the universe. Unfortunately, he can't pick up Prody. Except with the spatula. So.
Poor chameleon boy. Thanks for reminding me, he says.
I know. And so Lightning Lad picks up the super pets and comes back to the puppet planetoid. And the super pets attack Satan Girl. And Satan Girl says, they're as strong as I am, and being animals, they're immune to my red kryptonite radiations, which type only affects humans. My time's almost up. I failed, and I'm doomed. And so Satan Girl is lying there defeated, and Supergirl says, what do you mean your time is almost up? Who are you anyway? I'm your other self, Supergirl. It's evil twin time.
Yeah.
You don't remember, but you divided into two girls, and I'm the other one. That's why I knew where the secret worlds you hid the girls on were. I have all your memories. And as a conquered Satan Girl unmasked, she reveals the strange truth. When you burst through the time barrier to visit the Legion, you overshot your mark and accidentally appeared in space beside a meteor of red kryptonite, which always has unpredictable effects on you. This particular red kryptonite was to cause you to divide into two people. I determined to live on, not to join again with you. I had all your memories, scientific knowledge, and superpowers to help me. And if I can devise a scientific means of siphoning off the red kryptonite effect in my body into other humans, I'd lose the effect and would live on after 48 hours. I'll do it. On a nearby world, I made a device that would do that. This bracelet instrument will draw the red kryptonite effect from my body and radiate it into other humans. I'll use it only on the girl legionnaires to confuse Supergirl. That way I may scare her into thinking she too will be one of my victims. Unseen, moving at super speed, I radiated the red kryptonite effect into one girl legionnaire after another. The red kryptonite effect is being absorbed by lightning lasp, but I must keep siphoning the effect into others, so it'll all be gone before 48 hours pass. Then I saw you, Supergirl, recover consciousness. She doesn't remember encountering Red K. She won't suspect she's divided. If I wear a different costume and lead-lined mask, I'll keep siphoning the effect into those Legion girls. But I failed. The last minutes are fading. My life is ending. It would have been wonderful to live my own life until Crisis on Infinite Earths. Yes, but it's over. And odd Legionnaire see an incredible fusion. The effect of the red kryptonite has passed. She's fusing into me again. But I still don't understand how she could be immune to green kryptonite when she was me. And some boy says, we found this suit of lead armor painted to look exactly like Satan Girl. Oh,
no.
That's pretty lifelike.
She must have worn it when she handled green kryptonite, both on that planetoid and here. Supergirl says, poor Satan Girl. She fought so hard to live on, but she's a part of me again. And when the red kryptonite effect wore off, the girls recovered. Well, you know, 5 to 7 days later. thanks to the Legion of Super Pets.
And you know that right after this, Brainiac 5's like, I'll take the lead thing and put it away somewhere.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Now, something even more impressive. You will note that as Satan Girl dissolves, the costume still holds her form. And Supergirl, you know, I'm looking at Supergirl and then I'm looking at Satan Girl. Satan Girl seemed just a little more stacked. There was something going on with that costume.
Unpredictable effects of red kryptonite.
Well, yes, indeed.
It made things enlarge.
So, yes. So.
Objects in Bustier may be larger than they appear.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Brainiac 5 is saying.
Yeah, right. Actually, Brainy's not in this story. Kind of shocking.
So there we have it. So you got to wonder... You know, did this start with that kind of thing? Because you got to remember, I mean, they were writing for kids. You know, mm-hmm. They were definitely targeting kids with their stories, and it was under the auspice of you know, the kids who were reading these things 3 years ago. I won't be reading them anymore. We're kind of 8 to 10 year olds, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder if it was a let's see what I can get away with.
Oh wait.
You know, let's see if I can, you know, just push something in there that's going to, you know, push a few buttons.
Hey.
You know, push a few buttons and see what happens. And of course he would never do that again. Oh wait.
No. Never.
oh wait.
Yes. Just wait.
There's some further envelope pushing coming up, isn't there? Yes.
Oh, there sure is. Yeah. Up next, we've got Adventure 314, the supervillains of all ages, and the responsible parties are, once again, Edmund Hamilton, but this time the art is by John Forte. He even signs it.
Oh, yeah.
Got Milt Snappin on the letters, and I'm not quite sure of the cover credits, but I'm guessing it's probably John Forte.
It might actually be Kurt Swan, because he was doing a lot of the covers back then.
Yeah.
Pretty much right from the beginning. Let me just see here. Yeah, cover pens. It's Swan and Klein again. Kurt Swan, George Klein. Yeah, it's but you know that they had very similar styles, because if you look in that last story, Forte actually did some of the inks as well, and there seems, you know, it wasn't too jarring when Swan took over from Forte, and I think that they were kind of working a bit of a house style, because you know, Condemned Legionnaires was penciled by Swan with inks by Klein and Forte, and. So that's kind of an interesting sort of way to bridge it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, this story, the opening splash, has Superboy, Mon-El, and Ultra Boy starting to feel evil and wanting to use their superpowers for, well, for personal gain. And someone says, my psycho changer is a success. I've transferred the minds of history's three worst criminals into the bodies of Superboy, Mon-El, and Ultra Boy. Can it be Legion Traitors?
Take a drink, people.
Take three. They're small.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the story starts out with testing out new security systems at the Legion Clubhouse. And should that be added to the drinking game as well? we've got a – and they're going to be using a robot to test the defenses. And you know, they try to have him get in the front door first. And you know, he just tries to bust in and gets shocked because he didn't press the secret turn-off switch. The door is projecting electrical force. It wouldn't kill an intruder, but it would shock him and make him helpless.
What was he thinking?
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
Exactly. Don't tase me, bro. And then moving to the inside, he is going after their weapons, but because he didn't step on the tiles in the correct sequence, a cage has fallen on him.
Which isn't that interesting that a certain Grant Morrison used that in Final Crisis.
Yeah, very.
Wow.
And you know, then he's going for the time bubble, but he didn't turn the doorknob on the time bubble in the right combination, so knockout gas is spraying on him. It'll make any thief unconscious.
Even a robot thief. Oh, wait.
Yeah, so now they have to go because they've got some Legion applicants. And first up is Roncar of Neptune with superpower of flattening.
You can slide him underneath doors. He's a rug.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
It's like that whole Flat Stanley thing. Like they're going to start sending Roncar around in the time bubble, and you know they take the take their picture with him. You know, in the here we are in the 25th century, and here's Roncar.
Yeah,
so basically, you got the superpower of a cardboard cutout.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love Roncar. And they say
he's rejected.
Yeah. His power, strange as it is, couldn't be helpful to us at all. Next applicant. And then we have I'm a Lactor, a scientist, and I've invented this Marvel belt. These gadgets have the powers of super radiant, super loud sound, mechanical hypnotizing, and others. And the belt say, roar.
Wow. And they're like, Marvel belt, you can't be on our team. That's like the competition or something.
Yeah, exactly. But they say it's because he doesn't have natural powers, not the whole Marvel thing. But then he leaves the clubhouse laughing to himself. Ha ha, I deceived them. The fools didn't guess my silly inventions. Conceal special cameras that took X-ray photographs of every mechanism in their clubhouse.
Wow.
Then we see him in the next panel holding up tiny negatives to the light. And he's
Let me develop these.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs them developed in an hour.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to the 1 hour place. Are they ready yet? How about now?
they're taking longer because he got duplicates.
There you go. Well, they were on special.
Exactly.
Hey, can I get these on a CD-ROM too?
But yeah. His pictures, they gave him the ability to now get around the defenses in the clubhouse. And, conveniently, the rest of the Legionnaires are leaving the clubhouse to go see if everything is safe on Lost World. Because with the Legionnaires we have guarding it, no one would dare try to loot that weird planet. Everything is weird and strange.
Lost World is like it's like an island planet, and there's like all kinds of creepy stuff going on, and there's like a smoke monster, and
yes.
Oh, I can't wait for Wednesday.
Me too.
Or dinosaurs that turn invisible.
Yes. Well done.
Poor Jeff Goldblum. He used to have a career.
Well done.
Then they do go to the Lost World. Weird indeed is the planet which the Legionnaires soon approach. Lost World, the wandering planet that came from outer space and is passing through our solar system. Its people are long extinct, but they must have been mighty scientists. Yes, they built those super powerful machines, but where are the three who are guarding this world? Yeah, wandering planets in the Legion. Yeah, but this one has a little more satisfying of resolution.
Fair enough.
But that's not saying much. Then the Legionnaires guarding the planet show up. It's Superboy, Mon-El, and Ultra Boy. And I really don't understand what the purpose of this trip to the planet was.
they're just like, you know, it's like when someone's babysitting at someone's house, right? And then their friends come over, because they always say, you know, don't have your friends over, but their friends come over, and it's like, you know, because it's a different TV and they got different food in the fridge, and we just kind of wanted to hang out and stuff. And you know, let's face it, the Legionnaires are teenagers. That's all that's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
They're just going to hang out and have a sock hop and drink some milkshakes.
Yes.
No silver ale yet.
No. And no. Exactly. They're far too young.
Except for
that.
Ultra Boy in a little flask.
Well, you know. and they're going to have some of that Martian ice cream because it's out of this world.
It is.
Mm-mm. Oh, yes. But yeah, they just reiterate that they're going to need to stay on this planet and guard the machines. And Superboy says, nobody has come near this world. We'll stand guard here until it moves past our solar system and is lost in outer space to pass the time. We'll build a replica of our clubhouse here. Good, we'll return to Earth. We just wanted to check with you. And, of course, while
it's
they're away...
It's called a phone, people.
Yeah, exactly.
Spaceship fuel is very, very inexpensive in the future.
Apparently.
Yeah. They're not paying the bill.
Exactly. You know, RJ Brand will cover it. And he's like calling them up and, guys, seriously, the gas bill, a little outrageous. Don't make me ground you.
Yeah, while they're away, Alactor. I'll probably pronounce his name about 20 different ways.
Like but, Galactor, but with no G.
Alactor. Yes. He's sneaking in, and he knows the proper sequence to go over the tiles. He turns the bubble knob in the proper direction. He gets the door fine, but he didn't account for an alarm beacon. It means someone is in the clubhouse, someone who didn't know that its TV scanner in our weapons room turns on the beacon if a stranger enters.
Wow, they have TV. Sweet.
Yeah.
It's just like the light on the Luxor. That's, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You can see it from space.
And they say, land at once. Whoever the prowler is, he can't get out. But and then they run in. I assume they all went through the proper procedure of getting over the tile through the door. But Alactor is getting away in the bubble. He says, yes, fools, but I'll return with a power so great it'll make me the master of worlds.
With a name like...
I love... Oh, sorry, Paul.
No, with a name like Alactor, it sounds like his power has something to do with milk. And
oh,
you know, in keeping with the last story, I'm just saying.
Oh.
Yes. Sorry, you had something far more cogent to say, Matt.
I was going
to
say, in this next panel, Sunboy looks awfully startled.
He looks like he just got goosed.
Maybe or he's just got goosed.
Maybe he's using psychic abilities.
Oh, because that you do raise your eyebrows for that. It's true.
Exactly. He got away. What did he mean he'd return with a great power from the past? Could you read his mind by thought casting, Saturn girl? But he got away too fast. All she found out was he's going to unloose the greatest evils in history to further some mysterious plan.
Oh my goodness.
They can't follow him back in time. They've only got one bubble.
Who? Like Krona, the anti-monitor, and who? Who
else? Oh. And don't forget Lactaid guy.
Yeah. They decide that they've got to make another time bubble as quickly as possible. Because in the past, here's our history lesson.
Mm-hmm.
A Lactor is in ancient Rome in 64 AD, the Rome of the Emperor Nero, most evil ruler of the ancient world. This is the time of his greatest villainy, when, for kicks, he threw his enemies to the lions.
Crazy.
The burning of Rome, ordered by Nero, so that he could reenact and sing of the burning of Troy. That was the deed that began his downfall. I'll go a little further ahead in time.
I thought he played a violin while Rome was burning.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
Okay.
Well, that's the way it is in the cartoons.
Exactly.
Exactly. He's just got his little harp. But he goes a little bit in the future and saves Nero as he's running away. But he's going to speak to him in Latin.
See, there it is again. He's on the lost world. He's speaking Latin.
Oh,
he's right? Another.
Oh, I'm just saying.
But then Nero agrees to go with him because, well, he'll go anywhere. Obey his orders. Just get him away from these people. And he's got two more to go for. But back in the future present, in the 30th century,
yeah,
they are finishing up the time bubble, but they would have been able to finish it much faster if the Superboy and Mon-El had been there to help. And they and Ultra Boy must remain guards of that world and its terrible machines. Hurry, we got to find out. But, yeah. They go back to the year 1934 then, where it's Dillinger. He robbed the bank and he's getting away. John Dillinger, the most notorious outlaw in history. He's the one of the three I need, Nero. We'll follow him. And then he runs into a grocery store, and it looks like the front end of his car is pretty banged up, but they're worried about losing the tire. I think that they had much more pressing matters.
There's further issues with your car, sir. There's other repairs we're going to need to do first.
Yeah. But with the FBI and the police after him, he agrees to get in the time bubble. And back in the 30th century, they're ready to chase after him into the past, but they don't know where he's going. So they're going to just casually go back through the years, and Saturn Girl, she'll scope out the eras and find which one he's in. They'll just know to stop then.
No range of distance here is too strong for Saturn Girl's power.
Exactly.
How many?
Wow.
Have either of you got, like, when you see a Lactor come back here with Nero, how many get like a just a little bit of a Bill and Ted vibe, you know, with like that's so great.
So great. Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Dust. Sam. Dude.
Yeah. But
you killed Ted, you medieval. Oh, sorry.
Next week, Darren does a dramatic reinterpretation of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
The following week, yay!
The following week, we get Bogus Journey.
No, we can skip that one, I think.
He Melvin'd Death.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Poor Death.
All right, so.
All right. But when Saturn Girl telepathically senses Elector and they stop the time bubble, it is in the fateful year of 1945. And so they're hovering over Berlin, 1945, as
which is a allies. Completely safe place to hover.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing going on there at all.
As allied planes, they're bombing right in front of them.
Again, for a book of this sort at the time, I mean, obviously there were a lot of books that had some pretty detailed art in them, but a lot of these DC superhero books were not the place where you saw this level of detail.
Right.
And I mean, there's a lot going on in that one panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John Forte looks like he was having some fun.
Seriously.
I would have loved to have seen a Blackhawk plane here. That would have made it sweet.
Mm. Yeah.
What? Did they? Oh, I don't know the DC. Oh, no, maybe the. No, I don't think they owned them by then.
They didn't own them by this point, did they?
Yeah, it wasn't until sort of the early 70s, I think.
Yeah. In 1945, Elector, he's meeting with Hitler. He says, "Who are you and how are you? How could you appear here so strangely despite all of my guards?" And Elector is saying, "Your Nazi empire is falling, but if you join me and obey me, I'll save you. Otherwise, you're doomed." And Hitler, he says, "I've got no choice, so I'll join you." And quickly, into the time bubble. The Allied air raiders here make this place dangerous for us. And then the Legionnaires see the Elector's time bubble flying off, and they recognize who's with them in this panel. They see it's Nero, Dillinger, and Hitler, the greatest villains in history. Lightning Lad, use your power to disable their machine. But, just at that moment, they can't because it looks like the slowest flying planes in the war have finally got within a couple feet of the plane, even though a couple panels earlier they were not much further away. But they've got to quick throw the time bubble into the past to avoid a collision. Mm-hmm. And then an instant later, the Allied pilot is thinking, "I thought I saw a queer bubble with people in it, but it vanished before I hit it. It must have been an illusion." Those queer bubbles.
Or just fairy magic. One of the two.
Yeah. But then they, Legionnaires, they determine that Elector is gone and he must have gone into the future, and they'll follow him. And Saturn Girl, she's using her thought casting abilities, but her eyebrows aren't raised in this panel.
How can it be then? I'm confused.
Exactly.
It's like there's no consistency.
Oh,
it's like they don't care to set up the powers one way and use them that way all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing about this story we have to address here seriously is when writers use real life people in a future historical context and call them the three most evil beings in history.
Yeah.
That's just asking for the story to be dated.
And,
in
a big happy way.
Exactly. And it's yet another one of those reasons why it's a good idea to stay clear of that kind of stuff. Much like when we talked with Matt Elmsley a few weeks back, and he talked about the idea of discussing the technology too deep, you know, the technology of the Legion too deeply, is mm-hmm. that at some point, you know, at some point something comes out that's so similar that it's you know, rather than get into to basing stories on the technology or basing them on things like this, where you just, you know, I think that it's something they tend to stay away from now. But you're just setting yourself up, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
So
then they go.
Look at that. You know that it's in the time stream because you got different colors and you got. And you got years appearing right there.
Yeah. 2008.
Right.
2008. They were headed to our first episode. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. They're saying that. They're saying we're going to show up. We don't remember it yet, but we will.
Right. Right. Because Saturn grew up within mental blocks.
Yes, exactly. Oh.
And I'm glad they're there, actually.
Oh, my. Yes. Oh,
yeah. But they're going back to the future. And because they have to figure out what Elektra's plan is. And they need to go check in with Superboy and the others. End of part one.
Mm-hmm.
And in part two, the opening splash panel has the... has Ultra Boy, Superboy, and Mon-El chasing Sun Boy, Lightning Lad, and Saturn Girl. And Saturn Girl's thinking, our powers can't stop Superboy or Mon-El or Ultra Boy. They're coming after us to destroy us. And then Elector and Hitler, Dillinger, and Nero show up in the 30th century at Lost World. And they want to use the science of the planet to take over the universe. And they want to know how they're going to take over the guards. And Elector says, not so fast, dear friends. Always first things first. Before we use stronger measures, we'll attempt to bluff these guards. If my stratagem fails, well, no one can say we didn't give them their chance, eh? So Elector is Canadian.
There you go. Hey. There you go. He's like, yeah. So, but first we're gonna have a couple of beers and some back bacon, eh? And
they gotta pick up a 2-4.
Oh, I need some Tums. Wow. Oh.
And they gotta go. They gotta go to Tim Hortons for coffee because they gotta have their Timmies.
No, but Elector is handing out red hoods with compounds with. So not even a telepathic wave can get past. And Hitler says, Hawk, such hoods my executioners wore to behead enemies of the Third Reich.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah. We got nothing here, folks. We got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know what to say to that. All right.
And then Saturn Girl shows up on Lost World alone for some reason. And then Elector and the villains come out of the time bubble. But for some reason, Saturn Girl can't read their minds, and she doesn't know who they are, but a page before.
She did.
Yeah, wow. She did.
For amnesia.
Exactly. Lecter says, don't strain your brain, Saturn Girl. Everything will soon be all too clear. I'm here to deliver an ultimatum. Superboy, we assembled the three greatest villains of all time, whose identities shall remain temporarily secret. Unless you disband your legion at once, we'll destroy all your members. Who can his evil comrades be? My X-ray vision can't see through their masks. Neither can mine. Because I don't remember penetra vision being affected by lead.
It's not.
in fact, that's right from the beginning. That was the whole thing. That was why it was so much cooler, because he could see through lead.
Yeah. But in this story, it is.
Oops. Never mind.
What were we just saying about consistency?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and Elector, he's getting pretty angry here. He said, stop wasting your time. Your superpowers are helpless against us. Well, what is your answer? Remember, your refusal to surrender means your certain destruction. And, well, Superboy says, we can't yield. So we'll just have to face the consequences. But at least spare Saturn Girl. Be sporting enough to let her go unharmed.
She is just a girl.
Yeah, she is just a girl. A mere girl, as Elector says. Bah, what do we care if a mere female lives or dies? You had your chance.
She's
going to
come down with the crimson virus at any moment anyway. So.
Exactly. And, Now Alactor is outfitting Nero, Hitler, and Dillinger with what looks like to be super beanies. And it's his greatest invention, the Psycho Changer.
Wow.
It's why he brought them from the past, to get rid of the Legionnaires once and for all. Hitler says, I hope you know what you are doing. And,
but I will put it on my head anyway.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Holy Mad Hatter, Batman.
Yeah. But then they see Superboy, Mon-El, and Ultra Boy flying in. And Nero, he looks pretty surprised. What is this? These youths can fly? Naturally, they're Superboy, Mon-El, and Ultra Boy. And they have superpowers beyond your imagination. But this time, they'll meet their downfall. And yeah, Superboy recognizes the villains all from history. But it's impossible. They're all dead. Don't bet on it, Superboy.
Hey, Superboy, ever hear of time travel?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then they turn on the Psycho Changer. And Superboy says, I don't know what kind of weird weapon you're using. It can't harm me. And Alactor, using his little like switchboard. Of course you're invulnerable to physical harm, Superboy, but my Psycho Changer affects the mind and personality, not the body.
Oh my goodness. And then
Superboy undergoes a terrible transformation. And it worked. My Psycho Changer transferred the personality of Hitler into this body of Superboy. Of course it worked. Hurry, Doomkopf. And transform these others.
See, he speaks in German, so you know that he's Hitler now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hitler Superboy.
An appalled Mon-El and Ultra Boy can't believe their ears. I'll make them face the Psycho Changer, Alactor. Don't forget, I am Der Führer of Nazi Germany.
See? Where's the All-Star Squadron when you need them, I ask you?
But right here, yet another thing that that Grant Morrison would use in Final Crisis. A Nazi Krypton. Yeah, Nazi Superman.
Mon-El wants him to fight it off, but then Nero and Dillinger are quickly able to cast or psycho change into their bodies. And after the nightmarish change is completed, to think for years I've wasted my superpowers instead of helping other superpowers helping others instead of crushing them. Ha ha! I was as foolish as you, Superboy. But no more such idealistic nonsense. Let's think of some cities I can burn with my heat vision.
Because you see, that's what I do. I burn cities.
Exactly. And looks like Mon-El really shrunk in this panel.
It's because he's turned evil, so he's just a much smaller person.
Yes. Obviously. Of course. Ultra Boy.
Obviously.
Oh, evil Ultra Boy, take a drink. Now let's use our superpowers to get what we want. And while their personalities are in the Legionnaires' bodies, the villains, they're in a coma-like trance. And now
Alactor,
yes, Perry Como. He says, I saved each of you and gave you bodies with superpowers. Now you will help me gather the mighty scientific machines on this world so I can dominate all worlds. But, Super Hitler, haha, this fool thinks we'll help him instead of helping ourselves. He should know we can't be trusted. And poor Alactor, he just looks heartbroken. But you promised. There's no choke, though.
Seriously? That's a wasted choke moment right there.
I know.
Promises mean nothing to us. We've no more use for you, so I'll make sure you don't get in our way. But instead of killing him, they just tie him up.
The most evil guys in the world? You know, you've got the guy who wanted to, like, burn cities with his heat vision and basically, you know, crush people. And, and yes, and now, but, you know, we're just going to tie you up because I know that seems a little bit silly.
Well, luckily he's got blue eyes or else Hitler would have killed him. So,
well, there you go. It turns out he's close enough to the master race for Hitler. There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
And super and Elector, he is just, I should have known this would happen. Hitler, whose personality Superboy now has, was completely ruthless.
And, what was I thinking?
You think?
Sob.
The man invaded Switzerland, for Christ's sake. What do you want for nothing?
Saturn Girl quickly returns to Earth, where Lightning Lad and Sunboy are waiting, and I imagine they are just standing around the whole time waiting. And Saturn Girl says, the three criminals are in Lost World, but I wasn't able to read their minds. Then let's go there right away. Elector must be after the great scientific instruments there. And they get back to the Lost World pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they see that Superboy, Mon-El, and Ultra Boy, they're standing in front of Elector, who's been all tied up. And Saturn Girl uses her powers and sees that Superboy is really Hitler. And same with the other two. They're Dillinger and Nero. And Sunboy, no, it's impossible.
Okay, wait. So she gets mental, images from worlds way off into the distance, and she's got to get within 3 feet of Superboy to know he's Hitler.
Exactly.
And can't remember who the criminals were for a couple pages.
Yeah. Wow.
And Superboy says, it's true, and I'll use my superpowers to destroy you unless you explain to me how we can use the great machines of this world. And Saturn Girl is thinking, we can't allow these supervillains to use the mighty powers of this alien science. Maybe I can trick them. Very well, I'll explain the machines.
No, don't do that, Saturn Girl. That's playing right into their hands.
She's just a mere female.
Well, it's true.
Oh.
She shows him an atomic constructor, which can build things in an instant, which I don't know why they didn't use that to build the replica of the Legion clubhouse.
Oh, it was right there all along.
And Hitler and Super Hitler's got like a fist pump. Wunderbar. Uh-huh. It will be great. It will build great war weapons for us. Show us more.
It's always a better comic when a character says Wunderbar.
A vermin Wunderbar.
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
They go flying off to see the next machine. Superboy sees a big pipe sticking out of the ground. He wants to know what that is, but Saturn Girl says, they can't learn the purpose of that power tube, or else all is lost. Yeah.
That's not Dr. Manhattan's power tube, is it?
Oh.
Oh.
No, that would be just swinging around.
Yeah. Yeah. Saturn Girl says, I'll explain that later.
And when you're older.
Yeah, exactly. She shows them then a machine that uses, that's based on the same principle as the anti-gravity belt that she's wearing. And Mon-El says, with this, we can make cities that defy our rule float away.
But I thought you were going to burn them.
Exactly. He had a change of heart.
Gonna make them float away while they're burning, maybe. I don't know.
He can use them as like a skeet shoot.
Pull. Oh my. Yeah.
Yes, Superboy. Nero is right, but I want to know what that great tube machine is. And then they go off to the weather control.
They just kind of write themselves sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Oh. And Saturn Girl sends a message. Sunboy, Lightning Lad, we must destroy these super machines so the evil ones from the past can't use them. Strike in 1 minute with all your powers. And she turns on the weather machine and she's going to make a killer storm. But the super criminals figure out it was a trick, and they can counter it with their superpowers.
That's right. They're super now. They can tell this stuff.
Exactly. They're
super. Thanks for asking.
They turn off the weather controls, and for some reason, then the Legionnaires, they flee instead of fighting back. But Ultra Boy says, "With our super speed, we can tail their ship and give them the works. It's not necessary, Dillinger. They'll never dare come back. Our prisoner, Elector, he can explain that mysterious machine to us. Hitler's right."
Hitler's right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you've got Ultra Boy with it. Yeah. See. Yeah. Yeah, see, we got Hitler and Nero here. See.
Dirty screws aren't gonna make me sing. See.
Oh yeah.
And,
speaking of which, during the Watchmen previews, did you see the Dillinger movie?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of that was filmed in Wisconsin.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Really? Very cool.
Some of the scenes were filmed a couple blocks away from where I work, and some stuff was filmed in downtown Oshkosh, where my wife is from. And her dad actually saw Johnny Depp and got pictures of him and everything.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, sweet.
It looks really neat. I'm looking forward to it. It's Michael Mann directing it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Mann in a crime movie. You know, Michael Mann in Cops and Robbers, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Cool.
Then, as the Legionnaires fly away, they say, "Those mighty alien machines are now in the hands of the three greatest criminals in history. If they discover the capabilities of that power tube, all worlds will be in danger from them. We've got to rally all the Legionnaires we can to fight them." Don't you think they would have done that before they left in the first place?
You would think. Sorry, power tube. I just...
I'm trying to behave. I really am.
Yeah.
And when they return to Earth, the rest of the Legionnaires are waiting. And then, back to Lost World. "Herr Hitler, I've explained the purpose of this great power tube as you ordered. Wunderbar, it gives us an ultimate weapon. Nero Dillinger will be the masters of the universe. No one can oppose us. And I'll rename Earth as New Germany."
Oh, see, there you go. That's gonna set the other guys off. Ultra Boy's gonna be like, "Yeah, see, calling it New Germany. Yeah, see."
Oh, and the Legionnaires, they've secretly landed, and they send off Invisible Kid and Shrinking Violet, espionage squad.
Yep, we're seeing
they need more
example.
Practice.
Yes. Yeah, really, because they. Invisible Kid thinks he can sneak right past Superboy, who hears his footsteps, and then they see they catch Shrinking Violet also, and it almost looks like Ultra Boy is gonna just bite her head off or something in that panel.
And of course they get Chameleon Boy too.
Yeah, Chameleon Boy.
It's he disguised himself as Mon-El. Oh yeah, they might notice that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because Mon-El is just standing right there.
You know, maybe disguise yourself as the coffee table. Just an idea. Just
or the couch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, they're going to imprison them and then operate the power tube to begin our conquest of the universe. Yeah. Then it turns out the power tube is a giant rocket that moves the world in any direction. Yeah. And
I'll have some cheddar with this story, please.
Yeah. And well, from the world shaking, they figure out that they must have figured out this purpose of the power tube, and they're using the planet like a ship. And they're heading towards Earth. We can stop them, even though we must die trying. And Saturn Girl, she's like, "Well, I've one weapon. Evil always hurts itself. And maybe I can use thought casting to turn the evil of those super criminals against them. So I'll try." And she sneaks off. And plants information about each of their vulnerabilities in the head, in each other's heads. Mm-hmm. Superboy's vulnerability to kryptonite, Mon-El to lead, and Ultra Boy's to radioactive force. And
what?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. He has always been vulnerable to radiation. This is the first time it's mentioned, though, but it comes back again.
Fair enough.
I promise.
Okay.
And then the three villains, they start thinking, they decide they're going to separate and search for the other Legionnaires. But Mon-El and Superboy, and they decide that they're going to take the other one out so they can be sole dictators.
Yeah, see? None of this new Germany stuff. Yeah, see? That's for chumps, see?
Yeah, but at the exact same instant, all three of these guys, they unleash their weapons against each other. But luckily, as we learned in a editor's note, Mon-El hasn't taken his antidote 48 hours.
Right.
And they pass out, and Alactor is found, and he reverses his work. Says, I'm glad to transfer the personalities of Hitler, Nero, and Dillinger into their own bodies. They betrayed me, tricked me, and you tried to trick us. Your punishment will come later. I don't want to know what his punishment is going to be.
Well. And soon, I can imagine what Saturn Girl's got in mind, but...
Yeah. And then Superboy says, then, for a while, I was Hitler. You did a great thing, Saturn Girl, turning those platters against themselves. We'll take them back in the time bubble to the exact moment when they left their own times. History will not be changed. They'll meet just retribution. So, yeah, she's basically dropping each of them off to be killed.
There seems to be a Legion Code loophole going on there. You know, the whole,
and I guess the Prime Directive has come into play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to resolve any problem, they just push the Lost World into a cloud where it'll never be seen from again. Never be seen again.
You gotta love that. It's what they've done is they've said, it's like, look in the carpet galaxy. Let's just sweep it under there.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
wouldn't this be funny if this was actually what's going on Lost?
Oh, well, that does look like some black smoke.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And we get some wise words from Saturn Girl. And let's hope the Legion will never fight against itself.
Yeah, that's one to grow on.
And the Legion, yeah. There's never another Legion traitor.
No.
Never.
No.
No.
No, never. I'm smashed. I took so many drinks during this episode.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So let's unless we've got more to discuss about Super Hitler and Ultra Dillinger
and his Super Goose Stepping powers.
Yes. Mon Nero.
Oh, exactly. So we've got some listener feedback from our last episode in which we had some stumpage, and Matthew,
we have to say, eye roller last, please still listen to us. We're sorry.
Yeah.
We love you.
We do. We love you.
So, and we hate Super Hitler.
Yeah. Down with Super Hitler.
up with people. Yay.
Yay. For Matthew Elmsley, I did get your message and get a prize out to you, hopefully within the week. And I've got something cool. I'm certain of it. Anyway,
I want to give him a prize. All right. Yeah.
See,
because he left out the adult Legion marriages. Ooh.
All right. Anyway, Lexarius
I didn't get all of them anyway. It doesn't matter.
He had a bit of a background for us for some stuff that happened in in the Archie Legion. He says during the Reboot Legion series, there was an Atmos as part of the Amazers. The first time he appears is back when Kid Quantum One is designated as Xanthu's representative with the Legion. However, the three aspiring champions, Atmos, Starboy, and Kid Quantum One, are wearing generic uniforms as they're competing for the title of Planetary Defender. Atmos is not named, but the hairdo is a giveaway, and I do remember that one. And he said, if I remember correctly, Atmos doesn't show up again until the Dark Circle story arc, acting as leader of the Amazers, and he shows up again during the Legion World series as part of the Xanthuan Resistance. Wildfire is made of Atomics, or Atom-X, however you want to say that, from the Amazers, and Blast-Off from the Workforce, but are destroyed by Mordru during the Emerald Violet arc, and become a composite being just about at the start of the Abnett Landing Run during the Legion of the Damned arc. Lexarius has some wicked Archie Fu here.
He does.
He says he's immediately sent to the other side of space at the start of Legion Lost, and eventually is rescued and rebuilt, and Shikari renames him Wildfire. Technically, the first appearance of Reboot Wildfire, that would be genius. Reboot Wildfire, my mistake, is in the far future. He first appears in the Legion of Superheroes annual that was part of the Legends of the Dead Earth event, and I do remember that. It says that he's the only Legionnaire active at some unspecified time and has been forming one version of the Legion after another, trying to stop a planet-destroying organization. The funny thing here is that there's no hint about his dual nature. Maybe he came to think of himself as one being, as it's shown that he had been around for several centuries and doesn't remember the details about the Legion as clearly as he would like to think until most of the then-current team is killed. And he had some kind of relationship with XS, who starred in the Legionnaires Annual at the same time. It says, lastly, have you noted that in the Legion of Three Worlds, both the original and Three Boot Legions seems to have more or less simultaneous membership? I mean that their members are from around the same time in their particular version of the story, but the Reboot Legion has members from different times. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't noticed that. And part of this, you know, I'll finish this message and then sort of say where this kind of leads me. The presence of Kid Quantum One dates the team to either before or during their first mission where he dies. And I think Matthew brought this up in the Legion of Three Worlds, kind of like it's got, and I think we all talked about it. It must have been right then. And he said during their first mission where he dies, but at least Brainy comes from way ahead in time, as it is Brainiac 5.1. So that's kind of interesting. Mm. And actually that idea of it would kind of explain the whole thing that we talked about with Projectra in the Three Boot Legion. Like, why is she there? And so anyway, what I was going to say was we've talked about, you know, how we're definitely well steeped in the original Legion, of course, and we've read all of the Three Boot, but you know the Archie is the spot where we all kind of fell out for a little bit. So what's going to be really interesting is when we do get around to doing some of the Archie stuff, is it's going to be a real voyage of discovery for us on that kind of stuff, and you know, having been through a lot of these stories, will sort of give us a lot of that background for it. That I think it's going to be a lot of fun when we get to that stuff. I mean, it's gonna be a while, but you know what? We'll probably still do some jumping around anyway, because there's some great stories that we want to get to sooner rather than later. So, I'm just trying to think if we've got some other another one to talk to. This one's from Murray. Talks about the rededication ceremony. And he says, I think this was the one where you guys were talking about the rededication ceremony, picking on the Legionnaires for never having their annual, quote unquote, ceremony again. He says, I could be wrong and I don't have my issue handy to check, but I think that in issue 300, the Legionnaires were having a rededication ceremony, which is why all the Legionnaires, reservists, subs, and friends were gathering at the clubhouse for their big photo shoot at the end of the book with Prodi 2. You know what? I never thought about that, but I think he's right.
Absolutely right. He's absolutely right.
So there you have it.
We didn't know you had come for the rededication. I think that's what Phantom Girl says to Superboy.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So there we go. Crazy. We also have some further theories, and I got to say this for Lexarius, and one day I'll have to read one of these ones, is where he goes into the details of the Spanish names of the Legionnaires. It just fascinates me. It's really interesting stuff, you know, just when you sort of look at how they've translated some of the names. So we will do that one soon. Now, he has a theory that it is Tom that is going to dig up Connor. He says, if I recall correctly, he is the only Legionnaire actually buried on New Earth.
Nope, he's wrong. Well, maybe not wrong, but... I had this epiphany last night. Black Lantern, Karate Kid.
Yeah, it should be purely so that Giffen can kill him again at some point.
Exactly.
you got to know, he's saying to Johns, you know, can you bring back Karate Kid again?
Yeah, bring him back again.
And he's like, why would you want me to do that? Well, no reason.
Oh no, Johns knows why. Come on.
John's.
I just had that epiphany last night. Their bodies were in the 21st century, right? Okay.
Yep.
John's Black is
Lantern
too busy.
Una and Black Lantern Karate Kid.
He's too busy rewriting the whole DCU.
But they did take them into the future.
Yeah, well. Details. Again.
Yeah. Hey.
Details.
Consistency is the least strong point sometimes.
No. If Laurel Kent can be a Manhunter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that was Levitz.
Oh. Now, that was editorial mandate. That's what that was.
Yeah, but, you know, he was their boss.
he wasn't the boss at that point, was he?
I think he was...
He was a vice president, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think that was Giordano's era.
Yeah, it was. But he was still up there. I mean, I think he was...
Yeah, he was.
While Giordano may have been editor-in-chief, I think he... Levitz was still publisher at the time.
Good guy.
So anyway, so okay. So I'm not sure if there's any Legion goodness coming up this week. I'm just gonna take a quick peek at the upcoming comics for this coming week, and I don't know that we've got anything just yet, because, you know, there isn't any. Certainly isn't any Legion of Three Worlds just yet.
No.
Although, April. Let's face it, and in any of the Superman books, some of this stuff can pop up. So
yeah, and there is a Supergirl book this week.
Supergirl 39, exactly, and that is, of course, Supergirl continuing her manhunt for Reactron, determined to bring him to justice for the heinous crimes he committed in New Krypton. Meanwhile, Lois Lane and Inspector Mike Henderson investigate the appearance of a dead body in Metropolis Harbor. Whose body is it, and what could it have to do with the New Woman of Steel? Find out as the big mystery of 2009 continues. And, of course, that's written by Sterling Gates, art by Jamal Igle and Keith Champagne, and a cover by Josh Middleton. So
very nice.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. That's all the makings of a really great of a great book right there.
They've got me reading Supergirl again.
Hey, you know, because let's face it. Now this run, and I'm honestly a little bit surprised that they didn't try restarting with a new number one, purely because Supergirl, since this series has begun, had been a real dog's breakfast. I mean, it was no. Seriously, I mean, you know, you had the Loeb delays, and even when you read it together, it. It really
still wasn't great. Yeah.
No, it was. And the run right after that. And I can't remember who took it over. Right.
There was one issue by Greg Rucka.
Yeah. And that was at the very beginning of the 1 year later with the Nightwing and Flamebird. Oh, that's and so there was that, and then I can't remember who took it next, but it was all over the place. It was kind of the back and forth with the origin, and it's like, yeah, she's actually kind of evil. No, now she's not, and maybe she is again. And it was just, honestly, coherence seemed to be fairly absent. But you know, ever since Sterling Gates took over the book, it has really come together in a great way. And yeah, so there you have it.
Yeah, it looks like Tony Bedard did a couple issues on it.
When was that? Which ones?
And he did the issue where it crossed over with the Karate Kids. So that somewhere in it. And yeah. Joe Kelly.
See, and I usually really dig Joe Kelly, but I tell you, that run did nothing for me. And it just felt, I think there was a lot of sort of back and forth as to, no, we can't do this, we can't do that, and we've got something different in mind for her. And it was just really messy. And I've got to think, you know, because when you have some really good, I mean, let's face it, there were some good writers on that book.
Yeah, Kelly Puckett was on there.
That's
Will
right.
Will Pfeiffer.
And I think I can't remember which one had the run that ended just before Gates came on, but they were starting to get somewhere where it's like, okay, there's an ongoing narrative here, and they seem to be straightening some stuff out. But you know, it was like, once you read that first issue that Gates did, it was just wow, this is the, you know, here's something good.
Wow.
It was a huge difference, and it just felt like, it's like someone said, you know what, we're going to do something with this character, and we're going to do something good with her.
Exactly.
And they got into, let's straighten out all that other stuff, you know, right away. Let's just get that out of the way and move on to telling some stories. So lots of fun there. Well, anyone got anything else?
Tony Bedard, pick up Rebels, pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Tony Bedard and Andy Clark, just making with the comic book goodness.
Yes,
and, indeed.
And you know, you're doing yourself a disservice.
What a team book should be, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And it doesn't even have the team together yet. It's just what it should be.
And that's the best part, is that we are getting this whole building of the team again. And that's, like I say, that's where it reminds me of that original series. And yeah, he doesn't even have the team yet. And it's already just, wow. Yeah, it certainly, you know, when, you know, the last time there was a series called Rebels that came out, not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good. But this one certainly, you know, puts it to shame. And yeah, if you like comic books, if you like science fiction, if you like superhero stuff, and certainly if you like anything to do with the Legion, you got to be reading this.
Without a doubt.
Well, I think if that's everything we got, we can say that comments are, as always, welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can also head on over to the forum. The forum is at forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, or you can head on over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and leave a comment on the episode threads, because as you'll see, we do read them, and sometimes we even read them on the show. And so thanks for everybody who's left feedback. We really do appreciate it. And it's just, you know, and the participation on the forums and everything, it really is just fantastic to have everybody out there and talking Legion and talking other stuff too. But there's a lot of Legion chatter, and it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
So if that's all of it, we're going to head back into the time bubble, back to the 21st century, and we'll see you next week.